Sports Meets Beer podcast. Across the table from me is Brad Barmore. To my left, Mr. Kyle Castillo. Welcome to the show, buddy. Welcome back.
Hello, friends.
Across from him. Oh, sorry. I thought we were done. Across from him is Mr. Tony Gennaro, still sitting in.
Live studio audience today, guys.
Exactly. There we go.
Since we did that last episode, he has been promoted from keg rinser to executive manual draft line siphoner. So working out the old lungs.
When
jaws.
They said he was going to the MLS, he didn't think that was going to be the case.
If you have not checked out the show before, thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it. You can check out all these other episodes at the old Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, all that kind of stuff.
You can also check out anywhere you get your podcasts.
Absolutely. You can check us out on all the social medias as well. That's Sports Meets Beer, Meets like the protein, M-E-A-T-S. We are on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Untapped. You can email the show, sportsmeetsbeer@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys. But most of all, we just want you to listen and enjoy.
And share and review.
All that stuff.
All those things, please. All of the things.
So it's been a while since we've had Pickles on. In fact, I'm trying to remember the last time we actually had him on. It actually went.
Well, when it was all of us, the last time was in Ben's garage. And that was actually after the Super Bowl. It was Atlanta Falcons and Patriots was the last time all of us hung out.
No.
Well, no.
Well, on the podcast. Other than that, there was a side episode with Ben and I.
I heard about that. I saw it on the police blotter.
I'm excited to be back.
Yeah, it's.
I rushed all the way from Sacramento for this. I'm excited.
You didn't rush from Sacramento. You rushed from out in Farmville out there. Outside of Sacramento. But you're a homeowner out there, which is
I am.
Exciting.
Yes, it brings a whole new thing to building things and nail
responsibility
guns.
And
yeah,
all kinds of stuff. But we have Kyle here because he wasn't fit to drive all the way back to Farmville out there, and B, we have some beers from another part of the country, and we needed Kyle's expert palate
opinion.
Opinion, all of those things. Ben was in Milwaukee fairly recently. We talked about this in episode 108, no, 107, rather. And we went through some of the stuff. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that, please go back and do it because the session beer in particular from Door County was exceptionally good.
Unbelievably good.
So big ups to them. But we have some more beers that we wanted to taste and we wanted to get some other expert opinions. So here we ended up with Kyle because we couldn't get anybody else.
Yeah, no one else will return our calls.
All right, so Ben, you're the one that brought these. What is this first one we got in front of us?
This is the MKE Brewing Company. I'm sorry, MKEbrewing.com. This is, I got this as an homage to a friend of the show. He's a follower. He's emailed us a couple times, Mr. Louis C.K. It's called Louis Demise.
Oh, somebody jerked off into this beer.
Yeah, it tastes a little cummy.
But he asked. He asked first.
Yeah, he told me he was going to do it, and I'm like,
he asked first.
I'll be honest, I'm cool with it. Watching a ginger jack off into a beer bottle, it's
has
okay.
Has there been like a comedian like mid-prime downfall that has like hurt your soul more? Or like anybody's mid-prime downfall has hurt your soul more than that?
No.
Louis C.K. as a comedian is one of my favorites of all time. And when this thing broke, dude, it like really broke my heart because, yeah, he's a fucking scumbag. I get all of those things. Does it make his stuff less funny? I mean, I realize this is about to take a huge turn.
No, but I was more heartbroken with Bill Cosby because that was the very first comedy show I went to. And it was his Bill Cosby himself was like the first comedy record that I was allowed to listen to because there's no swear words.
Right.
So having him like, but that his allegations have been going on for a while.
Forever.
Right.
It was not a surprise.
But just, you know, especially with like Baskets. Right, where he was a producer on that show. Like, you see how dark his humor is. I'll be honest, like,
the Horace and Pete were awesome. But that guy got a blank check from FX to do whatever he wanted on that network for however long he wanted. That's basically the deal he got. It's like an absolute open checkbook for a comedian to do whatever he wants. That's what he got.
Right.
And yet...
But that's the thing. I think I believe we've actually talked about this on the show before, but as a privileged white male, I didn't find what he did as despairing as some of the other allegations from other comedians and other political figures and things like that. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Who hasn't asked a woman if I could jack off in front of you?
Well, I think the thing is that...
So you haven't? Just kidding.
I didn't acknowledge one way or the other. I don't appreciate being put on the stand here, Your Honor.
You know, there's a lot of things to consider.
Honorable Judge Larry, now presiding. But I think, you know, in this regard, I think it was such a huge pendulum swing in that regard for, you know, the Me Too movement and all that kind of stuff. And it's all viable and valid, and it has an important place in, you know, how we're evolving as a society. So I don't want to necessarily diminish its role here. But, you know, there was such a huge pendulum swing, and the people that came forward were kind of like, it wasn't really that big of a deal, but a lot of people kind of flayed him for it anyway. And he came out and gave sort of like a half-assed apology.
I think that was the biggest thing.
Sort of
right?
Acknowledged it, but didn't really apologize for it. And then also, like, his level of comedy makes you realize that, like, he doesn't really give a shit. That's the thing. Like, the difference between him and Bill Cosby is that Bill Cosby is such a wholesome thing, and his is so deviant and murderous, really. I mean, he's not killing anybody, but it's close. You know, it's such a different thing. And so, yeah, the Louis C.K. situation, it broke my heart. I understand, you know, and he's really handled it clunkily on his way back, just showing up at places expecting to get spots on the, like, at the Comedy Store or the Comedy Cellar or whatever, like, and like being told no thanks and like just not.
Well,
really,
that was
like,
after his first. So he did his first little appearance, right? And then yeah. That got leaked, and to which, you know, the patrons were pissed because he was there and made jokes about a school shooting. It was just he was working on material. You listen to every other comedian talk about his material. Those jokes are like, that's so unfair. He's working jokes out. That's what comedians do, right? You're not in that spotlight necessarily.
And they've all kind of acknowledged that, like, the reason why he's not getting the leash that other comedians are getting because he hasn't, like, really paid his penance out long enough.
Right.
Like, he needs to go another year before. And this is a guy that was putting out a new hour every year. That is, like, an insane amount of content he's putting out, right? So, you know, we should get friend of the show Steve Osborne on to discuss this at length a little bit. But I think...
I've heard of him about his jack-off stories enough.
But I think, you know, his big thing is that, like, for Louis C.K.'s big thing, is that he didn't really pay out what even feels like an appropriate amount of time being away from comedy, right? And, like, you know, he did say, kind of funny, like, they kind of booed him for making the school shooting joke. He's like, what are you guys going to do? My life's already ruined. Were you going to take away my birthday? Which I thought was really fucking hilarious. But even still, man... Let's just get back to the beer.
Yeah, back to the original purpose of this. Which
somebody
is,
jerked off into this beer. That's basically where
we're
going to start.
Well, I tell you, it's not too far off. This is probably got to be one of the worst amber ales I've ever had in my life.
Just right off the nose, it's just it's very, very malty.
It smells like wet, like just wet, soggy cereal.
It smells like wort, just wort. Just right out of the...
That's a really good point, Kyle. It does smells like wort from a brewery. So if you ever do a brewery tour and you walk through... That delicious, like, cereal grain, hot smell, that beer wort sitting there.
Sugar water.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, Kevin Brink's Garage, smells exactly like this all the time.
It's fantastic.
I bet you it smells better than this.
Yeah. Well, he's sweaty, so no.
Yeah, this is a horrible... It's a really overly sweet amber ale. Yeah.
I'm out.
It's gross.
I can see...
Don't even try to defend it, Kyle.
Cereal that they poured the cereal milk into the box, and you're trying to eat it out, and it disintegrated some of the box.
So the cardboard's in there?
Absolutely. Yeah. Very, very cardboardy. But I get...
What?
This is what Southsiders throw against a building.
Give me your dumps.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is Midwest.
What does that have to do with anything?
Lack of hops, Midwest.
You know what, though?
We've had some great beers from the Midwest.
Well, it's getting them there is the problem, right? So when your whole state is shut down because it was 4 degrees, it's a tough thing.
Ugh. Is this the... That's one
so
of the
brewery's
bottom
five... name is mkebrewing.com. That's the brewery's name.
It's one of the bottom five beers we've ever had on the show.
I'd agree.
I supplied one of them. I supplied one of them.
Which one was that?
That was the Highlight. That was...
it was just an old bottle. Because I carried it here at the restaurant and we smoked through it in like a day and a half. Yeah.
No,
it was
this
awesome.
Is the one that was sent from my poor aunt in...
who sat on it before she sent it to us. Yeah. Sat on it while driving an Uber shift.
Yes.
While she was menstruating.
Oh, God.
What?
It did taste a bit irony. You're right.
Yeah.
When they say irony, I don't think that's what they mean.
Yeah. Take it easy, Alanis.
Oh, no.
All right. Next on the docket today is from Oso Brewing. O apostrophe O. Not to be confused with Special Agent Oso from the Disney Channel.
That's exactly where I was going to go with that.
But this is, when I picked this, literally, I don't know how you guys buy beers, right? When you go start going through and looking at
just
the labels.
Grab them and run out of the store and hope that they don't catch me?
Yeah, well, I'm not running anywhere. but you go through and you look like, and every time I think of like, I see something funny, I'm like, oh, that's a good one. So instantly when I saw this one, Night Rain Porter. I wanted to get a porter because I was really grabbing IPAs and everything else. But as soon as I thought of Night Rain, I thought of the Chocolate Rain song.
Oh, that's my Tay Zonday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chocolate Rain.
So a porter from Milwaukee. It's got a good chocolate nose to it. I'll give him that. Really, really super dark. It looks more like a stout than a porter, to be perfectly honest, but...
This smells like when you're walking through the airport early in the morning and you get, like, there's coffee somewhere in the distance. But you're smelling, like, 100 other things, but coffee is just in all of it. And just something about this that...
Yeah?
So SFO.
Yeah. It smells like an airport. This beer.
Apparently, I fly out of Candyland Airport, so I don't know. I got all chocolate out of that. I didn't get any coffee.
Yeah, it's just roasty, toasty...
Roasted toasty malts.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's an okay thing.
But it's like it has been roasted a little too long, though.
You think over roasted?
Yeah.
Over-roasted. I get a lot more chocolate in the finish. I don't get hardly any of it in the nose. It smells toastier than I would like, for sure.
Yeah, I could see that. Where you get a little more like the carbon burnt side of it, right? That's been. Whenever you're cooking like a sauce on the stovetop and you let it go, hey, just keep stirring every 5 minutes and you let it go like 7 to 10 minutes and it starts sticking to the bottom of the pan because I have shitty pans in the house.
It's like when my mother-in-law cooks.
Well, Kyle, I'll have you know she is a fan of the show and she does listen.
She knows exactly how she cooks.
Okay.
Yeah. She puts bread in the oven for 4 minutes and then forgets about it.
So she puts it in for longer than 4 minutes.
Yeah, same.
No, but she sets the timer for four minutes.
Oh, right.
What's right. that noise again?
It's the fire alarm.
That's Tracy?
Or the, yeah. It's the smoke alarm.
All right. Well, yeah, this, the chocolate in the nose is now dissipated, and it's a biscuity, bready.
It almost smells like that they just used only chocolate malt. Like, they didn't back it up with, like, anything to even it out.
Yeah, now that it's warmed, it's lost some of its complexity.
Yeah, it's pretty one-noted, right? I mean, I think you're right. The chocolate malt, it's probably the only thing in there. I don't know. This is just, I don't know, man. Kind of also had I can't shit on their websites without a laptop in front of me.
They do have the upside-down bottle, though, so that already gives them -1 point for me.
Oh, yeah, the independent bottle?
Yeah.
Careful, someone's got it on their can.
Anyway. Yeah, we're with the brewing independent thing's a little sore subject with some of us. But it's all good. We get it. Before we crack the next beer, Brad, is there anything you want to cover? Anything you want to talk about?
Not really. I'm going through Twitter right now, and there's not really anything exciting going on. I mean, it's NC2A tournament weekend.
Who you got?
Loyal listeners, you know where I stand on the NC2A tournament.
It's a fucking sham.
It doesn't matter.
Really?
It doesn't matter. Oh, it's terrible basketball.
It's just great entertainment.
Dude, I watched 18 minutes of Arizona State and friggin' St. John's tonight and wanted to fucking pull my hair out.
Really?
Yeah, it's
I think you and I have had this conversation before.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, too. It's like it's all these makeshift gyms that are like normally football stadiums.
Well, the SAP Center.
Right, but like, okay, it's not normally a basketball stadium. So with the way that they set up the microphones with like these temporary hoops, everything sounds like you're fucking banging pots together. Every time somebody misses a jump shot, it sounds like somebody's banging breakfast pots together. It's brutal, dude. And it's point guard brings it up, throws to the wing, wing goes to the back to the point guard back to the wing, wing dribbles in, back out to the point guard dribbles in, back out to the wing, terrible contested jump shot in traffic or as time expires. It's the same offense everywhere. You're going to see a few teams that have good length that are going to be able to create things in transition. And at the end of the day, it's going to be talent that wins out, and it's going to be Duke or Kentucky. Actually, Kentucky might be in trouble because they got the kid in the boot. But, you know, Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, you know, Virginia, one of these teams that's got four NBA players on it, and everybody else is just there kind of for fun. And I know that last year they had the team from Chicago that showed up, and Sister Jean or whatever the freak her name was, you know, she was like a big – you know, inspirational thing for everybody. But generally speaking, man, it's not fun basketball to watch. It's like, hey, I root for the kids that went to the small school from the south side of Chicago, but the basketball's not fun to watch.
No, it was Loyola Chicago.
Loyola Chicago.
And they're now in the NIT.
Yeah. People will say, oh, well, there's parody in it. No, there isn't. There's just bad basketball play. And so, yes.
Yahtzee.
I have a bracket going, but I watched 0 minutes of non-Zion Williamson basketball this year, and so it's all random guesses.
So I have started paying attention from the start, which is unlike me because...
You're not a basketball guy.
I'm not a basketball guy, but I took kind of some interest into it because I think the Zion kid, you know, has some abilities.
Oh, he's got a future.
Actually really cool.
This is what it would have been like if LeBron had been forced to go to school for 1 year.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't like the idea of them being forced to go to school for 1 year. You know, I don't.
That's changing. They're going to be doing. They're going to have like they're going to extend the G League thing, and you're going to be like be a salary cap on what you can pay these kids if they want to go to college. That's one thing, or they can go and immediately become pros.
See, I'm down for that, but I don't think that they should be required to do 1 year.
Especially you're going to go if you're Zion Williamson, you're going to go play at North Carolina. You know, play for Duke at North Carolina. Tickets are going to go for $2,500 a pop courtside, and you are going to go. You're going to get $0, and also nearly tear your ACL in that game.
Absolutely.
Like college sports, I mean, we could get into how much of a sham college sports are, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, basketball doesn't have the gambling week to week, night to night. But for the next 3 weeks, it does.
Yeah, it does. My podcasts have blown up.
Yeah. I don't like the look on Ben's face at all. Ben, tell us what is in front of us.
It's amazing that they could repackage this beer
as something
as
else.
The last one it was, and it tastes the exact fucking same.
Oh, no.
This is a toasted oatmeal stout compared to the porter, the Night Rain Porter. Oh, these two beers, two different breweries, taste the exact same.
Oh, no.
Try it, please. Confirm or deny my allegations.
It smells exactly. Yeah, that's...
Hey, so just I want to be clear about something here as we're tasting this beer. We had Dr. Death on the podcast a while back. Have you followed him on Twitter?
Yeah. Oh, he's a lunatic.
He's a maniac. I mean, he was fun to have on. He was passionate about his Raiders leaving and everything else. And all his blustering didn't matter. But, you know.
Yeah, weird. One guy against a million-dollar franchise.
He's crazy. And he can't spell. He cannot spell.
It's oil.
What?
It's oil.
Yeah. It has a viscosity of oil.
What are the chances
that out of the 9 beers I brought back,
this is
the one best one was the first one I grabbed out of the bag for us to try?
What was it?
That was the Pallet Jack.
The
Door County Pallet Jack.
It was the Cruiser.
The Pallet Jack Cruiser, yeah.
God. Yeah, that's not good. Like, what is this supposed to be?
A toasted oatmeal stout.
Oh, it's super dry. And
it's way too dry.
30 IBU, 5.7. Yeah.
No, I'm not into it. What's the name of the brewery for this one?
This is from Third Space. You know, they say you have your home, you have your work.
You have another job to do, and it's not beer. Get the fuck out of here.
Everyone needs a third space. This guy needs to go back to washing balls. Tell you that right now. Yeah.
So these are three of the nine that you brought, right?
Yeah. Oof is right. I mean, how do we keep fucking? Hey, well, while we're
so I'm not going to go to Milwaukee to try their stouts. I could probably do
that. Ooh, I would stay away from that. I mean, there's I have a list of some Milwaukee breweries to check out. But our
so apparently when they say Milwaukee, that brewery says Milwaukee's best. They fucking mean it.
Yeah.
Good enough to make some fondue, man.
Goodness gracious.
Guys, yeah. Shit. You know, that's what the, what's the fondue place? What's the name of it?
Melting Pot.
Yeah.
That's what they use in their cheese sauce is Milwaukee's best.
I remember talking to them, and they're like, yeah, I'll take a couple 30 packs.
Yeah, of whatever your cheapest beer is.
And I'm like, what? Okay, sure.
It doesn't surprise me. It's because of the acidity. The acidity that something like that adds, yeah, it gives it like a... A lot of places aren't using the beer anymore. They're using something called sodium citrate because it's a food additive. And it basically what it does is the acid between the beer and then the sodium citrate, it keeps the proteins in the cheese more soluble. So it stays a lot smoother as opposed to like when you when you use higher end cheeses or like, you know, cheeses that are aged longer, they have a tendency to get like gritty and weird. Like if you cook them for too high a heat or whatever, using a higher acid like wine or beer or using the sodium citrate, it keeps it from doing that. So it's interesting that they're sticking with the beer. They must like the flavor of whatever cheap-ass beer.
They probably like the price point.
It's still being produced.
I have no idea.
Yes.
Ben was just in Milwaukee. He should know.
Well, I can tell you, dude, there's Miller Lite everywhere. It was a great thing.
Oh, that sounds like my heaven.
Sports Meets Beer Podcast is brought to you by Advanced Auto Glass and Detail. Advanced Auto Glass and Detail is committed to providing you with the highest quality premium glass products and a professional installation by certified technicians. They are experienced in every aspect of glass replacement or repair, offering factory replacement or a premium aftermarket upgrade. They even deal with those annoying windshield rock chips that show up out of nowhere. They offer free local mobile service and offer a full warranty on all workmanship for as long as you own your vehicle. And across the street at Advanced Detail, they specialize in cars, trucks, vans, RVs, boats, show cars, trailers, and more. They are a full-service auto detailing shop, offering exterior wash, polish and wax, interior vacuum, shampoo, trim detail, and even smoke and odor removal. Water spot and scratch removal, paintless dent repair, it's all available at Advanced Auto Glass and Detail. Advanced Auto Glass, look for the purple building at 2460 Santa Rosa Avenue. And right across the street is Advanced Auto Detail at 2549 Santa Rosa Avenue. Advanced Auto Glass, 707-526-5700. Advanced Auto Detail, 707-526-2200. Let Advanced Auto Glass and Detail take care of all of your automotive needs.
All right. What do we got in front of us here?
We have another beer from Third Space Brewing. It's the one that brought us that the toasted oatmeal stout that we didn't like.
Okay.
This is much different. I'll give them that. This is their Happy Place Midwest Pale Ale. I grabbed it because of the Midwest Pale Ale.
Honey.
Yeah. Like orange blossom honey. Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of like
that's enjoyable.
It's mosaic hop, I think, in there. What is that?
Oh, I take it all back then.
Orange peel. Throw it away. Like that sweet mandarin orange peel.
Yeah.
Which I think we find in most heavily mosaic hopped beers. What is your version of the mosaic hop?
Oh, just dumpster fire. I do not like the mosaic hop.
Do you find people are usually fucking it up, or it's the hop itself you don't like?
No, I don't think tonight is the night to argue it.
Well, no, I'm just curious.
No, I'm just not a fan of it. I've had a couple just mosaic single hop IPAs. It just hasn't been, you know, my forte.
Well, I think that's the thing. But the problem with Mosaic was that it was really bastardized when it first came out because it was like a vessel because it was the new hot hop, much like the Citra hop is today, and it was going out. And everyone was just you got kind of beat over the head with it, and some good, mostly bad beers.
Yeah.
You know, the New Belgium had one that was the.
I think the one that did it to me was the one from down south, Carl Strauss.
Carl Strauss.
Just yeah.
That one. I think that's the one that burned me.
They either make really good beer or just beer I just don't want to even be a part of.
So was it the Insomerizer?
Sodomizer.
Isomizer.
Yeah, that's what it was. When I was listening to you guys' episode on that, I was trying to find it. I haven't been able to find it since. I think they
it's no,
they
no,
whacked it, huh?
It was... Not sure.
I'm not sure.
It was seasonal for them. They'll probably bring it back. It actually was did it quite well for them. Oh, okay. The packaging was off the hook, but I think the liquid on the show, as I recall, we didn't care for it. I want to say I tried it again on tap, and it was much, much improved. Okay. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's – I'm not against the Mosaic hop necessarily, as long as it's, you know, used right. But this is
– I like.
Just feels so unbalanced.
I like the honey on it.
You like the honey on this?
Yeah. Just
– Nature's candy.
Yeah.
It's really one-noted.
Absolutely.
It's honey and carbonation.
Yeah.
And bright orange, or, you know, and like light orange. I don't want to say bright. Light orange peel. That's about the extent of it, I'd say.
But that's, you know, I think the common, kind of the common denominator, with the exception of that, the Door Brewing, is that everything's been pretty one-noted, right? There's not like multiple layers. Like, at least the porter, the stout from the same company. It's pretty straightforward. Like, you get it, and it doesn't really change much, right? It doesn't. I don't know. It's you smell it, it tastes it, and that's it. It's over, and it's not an extreme one way or the other. It's very even keel.
And doesn't this? Do they say this is a single hop pale ale or no?
No,
because if that was,
it just calls it a Midwest pale ale. Now that's that, you know, that interpretation is up for.
Right, like we know what, when they say like a Northern California IPA versus, we know what to expect from something like that. Like when they say like a Midwestern pale ale, I don't know what that means really, right? But like if they were to tell me that this is a single hop IPA, I'd have a much different, like, you know, I'd have a much different view of whether or not they accomplished what they say they were trying to accomplish.
Well, this is 45 IBUs, and I don't get any of that. Like no, this is like 2030s, right? Because that's close to Sierra Nevada pale ale.
Yeah.
Right. So this does not have that same, you know, kind of the pale ale caramel backbone. I think that's the thing this is missing, is kind of that the color and the flavor of that you get from those darker, richer pale ales. This is just a little too pale on the pale ale.
Yeah, I agree.
It's probably only a 1 pint beer.
I
don't think I,
which is not from Wisconsin, is they're known for beer, man. They don't want to do one of anything.
12 ounces. I'm good on 12 ounces. It's about the extent of it.
Yeah.
I will say this one thing we didn't touch on last time we talked about my trip. I meant to tell you this, too, the last time. We went to there was a brewery, and it was a burger bar, right? And it's like, the menu was good, the whole thing, but with the overall presentation, it came out, and it looked like Foster's Freeze. Like, it couldn't have been any more of, like, a mashed up. And I guess I'm used to like, you know, California burger bars, a little better presentation and things like that. But the cheese curds were awesome. Surprise. But the burger, was fine. It just was, it looked like a frozen patty and just kind of like a fast food burger.
Hmm.
So it was interesting.
The dairy farmers in the Midwest are not putting their best foot forward on the plates out there, I guess, huh?
All right. There's our dump right there.
Thank you.
All right. What the fuck? I couldn't. I'm trying to find the brewery name on there.
I was going to say, that's a good way to start this beer. What the?
Caribbean 4 Brewing, Madison, Wisconsin. So this, as I will, you know, obviously see a picture on social media, Fantasy Victory IPA with a cat riding a unicorn with laser beam eyes.
Perfect.
See how this thing turns out.
Sounds like something up Carl Ruiz's area here.
Oh, just the cat. The cat fancy. That's his wheelhouse.
Yes.
All right. So this is a 6.3% beer. What do we get out of the aroma?
Malty.
Yeah, another malty IPA.
Just same thing as just sweet wort.
And like somebody smoked pot in the room 25 minutes ago.
Oh.
It's got an interesting flavor, though. Have you taken a sip?
Not yet. I'm going back in for a couple more noses.
It, wow. The first bite is interesting, and then it falls apart, kind of.
Yeah.
It literally, I feel like.
Back to the sweet wort.
I feel like it literally, like, the flavors all fall apart on your palate as soon as it hits it. Like, you're like, oh, this can be interesting. And then it just can't hold it together. The molecules come apart and it's over.
Yeah, I'm not in on that at all. Right. I don't even like the first bite, really.
I thought the first bite was interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it almost like had like a little bit of a Belgian funk to it, but that's
like there was a danky beer in this glass 25 minutes ago in a room that somebody smoked pot in 26 minutes ago. would you call the haul from Milwaukee a huge disappointment at this point?
God,
dude, I'd like my money back.
This just did on Twitter. Breaking news: an NFL team with a draft pick is meeting with an NFL draft prospect tomorrow.
Is that the onion?
No, that's legit. I mean, that's somebody making a joke on Twitter, but it's onion worthy for sure.
All right. Two Brothers Artisan Brewery. I'm going to go on a limb and say we're not going to like this one either.
Two Brothers, huh? Well, we have Barrel Brothers, but they're not really brothers.
Yeah.
So we were lied to already about some brother beer earlier.
Different aroma than we're used to.
For a Weiss?
Oh, maybe that's why.
No, it seems pretty straightforward. It
smells like bubble gum.
Oh, this is delightful. Thank God we picked this one, or I picked this one last.
And there are the bananas.
Yeah, Brad, yeah. Pickles does not like bananas in beer.
I am not a banana fan.
Like in general or like beer? Or?
No, beer, bananas in the beer. I like bananas.
This is great.
But bananas and beer.
It's much more bubblegummy than banana to me, but it's amazing how fine the line is between the two. And when you get two beers.
I bet you if we wait 5 minutes, that just a little bit of heat will make that change over.
You'll into get more banana?
A little more banana and probably a little more of a spice clove on the back end. Because I get that in the distant back of that palate, but... This is much better than the other previous six beers that we flew through.
Yeah, the spice level is pretty mellow in the end, which is good because sometimes they get like that, you know, that baking spice aspect that I don't particularly. That's the thing that usually really kills me on beers like this is that it's that mace, coriander, clove.
Right.
Like all those baking spices that just become very prominent and I don't always particularly care for. It dries out your palate. It just, and then the other swing on the pendulum where it's just so cloying and rich from the bubblegum and the banana and everything else. This beer's pretty well balanced. I think it's pretty light bodied for what it is. And
right.
There's not an insane amount of lingering finish in it. I think it's pretty nice.
Yeah. 4.9, 12 IBUs. I mean, that's exactly what it tastes like. I can guarantee that in Milwaukee that people are slamming a ton of these.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? Like, we haven't reviewed Weiss beers particularly well on this show. Typically, the ones we have not gone over very well. And I don't know if that's just from a personal preference standpoint for us.
I think it's also a fleeting category. That's the other part, too, is that it's just not popular. But I would think, if anything, with the craze of hazy coming, being around... That Weiss would at least make like that's if they're going to have a time to come to the front, or at least be second fiddle. This would be the time when you have that soft, approachable mouthfeel. That's exactly what the Berliner Weiss and all the Berliner Weiss spoke really well to like the Goza group and the sours and the Hef and all those beers. I think would really all those German styles would really play well right now. It's just unfortunate they're not.
Yeah.
They're not getting the memo on the marketing, I guess. I don't know.
At some point, I think they'll probably circle back because it just seems like the next... there's always a pendulum swing back from like the new age, same thing with food. It's like the new age cooking or the new age brewing and then back to like this new innovation, right? Or back to like traditional styles and then back to new innovation. And so at some point, the pendulum will swing back through the style again, I would wager.
Right.
Came in earlier today, but I just saw it get retweeted. Saints are close to a deal with Jared Cook, possibly leaving the Raiders. Your thoughts on no more Jared Cook on the Raiders?
It sucks. He's a great tight end, but I knew he wasn't going to stick around. He's going to get big money.
Yeah, he played way better with the Raiders than I thought he was going to because he had a tendency in Green Bay to just disappear in games, and he did not do that with Oakland. He was great. And I wonder if maybe there just aren't going to be enough balls to you know, to pass around, really. You know, between Tyrell now and Antonio Brown and all those guys, I wonder if it's just not worth it for them to pay a guy at that position.
Well, I just don't know. I don't know what his contract looks like.
They haven't announced it yet. He's close to a deal with them.
Yeah. I think, to me, he's probably going to get somewhere in, like, the $8 to $10 million range.
Okay.
Probably, like, that low, they probably won't talk about guaranteed money, but it's one of those things where he played on that performance, and I think that they're going to look at, you know, they're really going to go deep ball and try to balance everything out. I mean, I know that the tight ends, we've said it before, tight ends make barely balance out and keeps your secondary honest.
Sure can.
And if you don't have a strong linebacker core, that's where they're going to tear you apart. But
yeah, so many teams are playing a lot of man coverage now too. So that's really where you can do it. And you know, teams like Seattle and the Niners are trying to do it. But you know, some of these guys that are playing more zone defense, it's not quite as important because you know you're not creating a lot of one-on-one mismatches there. But the Raiders, the way they ran their offense and in that division, he was able to create a lot of things. And you would think that there'd be more space for him. But I think the thinking is that, you know, with Antonio Brown being there now and Tyrell Williams can really stretch the field, you know, it's not worth it from a financial standpoint.
Right.
As good of a player as he had been for the last two seasons or season and a half, it's just not worth it to spend the money at that position because you're going to create open – if you're scheming it up properly, you're going to create open space for somebody regardless.
Right.
So, you know, let the second guy – and I don't know what kind of a run blocker or a pass blocker Jared Cook is.
So I've been heavily involved in this basketball thing lately that I haven't really been paying attention to what's been going on in football. But what are the Raiders' picks this year? I don't remember. Like that was
they have like 3 months ago. 4th, 23rd, 28th, and then 36 for so second round. So really
it's 38.
So let's just say that they're crossing their fingers they get Kyler Murray.
They're going to have to trade up to get him.
Yeah.
They would have to trade up. Yeah. Okay. So what about, like, if they were to release Jared Cook but still pick up?
It's a free agent. He's a free agent.
Okay.
So there's no – you can't release him.
Okay.
They're going to release – they're going to cut Seth Roberts, I can tell you that.
Did not sign him. But, I mean, there's two really, really good tight ends coming out.
Yeah.
And those are both from Iowa.
But I think the biggest thing is, you know, you're right, but I don't think releasing Jared Cook makes that a position of need for them really because of how they've built the offense. Their positions of need are still going to be on the offensive line and in the secondary and their ability to rush the passer. So tight end, they will probably bring in undrafted free agent type guys, really? Undrafted rookies to come in and because, you know, they showed even last year, you know, Derek Carr couldn't get the ball in the field very often. The offensive line didn't do him very many favors. There were some questionable like crunch time decisions, but generally John Gruden showed that he can scheme a team up. Generally, they move the ball well between the 10s, even not even between the 20s, between the 10s. God. And so, you know, I think it shows that now that you've got real playmakers on the outside, that if you have somebody that can just run semi-competent routes against the number of man defenses they play in that division, you're going to have somebody that ultimately gets open. But really, like, if you have a choice between even Jared Cook and Antonio Brown and Tyrell Williams, who's the third guy on the list? It's a Jared Cook
every time.
So why pay $8 million for a third option when the guy's going to be a third option regardless?
Right.
Right. Now, you know, the hope is obviously you're not going to bring in like some schmuck to just be a place filler. You're going to try and find somebody who can make an impact at some place. But your tight end's not going to be your leading receiver now. And if he is, guess what? Antonio Brown's not going to be around next year.
Exactly. Look, the shitfall that will come out of, you know, either receiver not getting their catches is going to be a mess. They need a tight end that's going to be a huge blocking tight end.
Yeah.
And I think Jared Cook did a good job. He's a really good chip guy. But at the end of the day, I think they needed someone who's going to be you're going to bring him in and get that extra time.
And so what is like a rookie salary?
Minimum is $850,000, $900,000.
Yeah. So you draft somebody third round. Just say third round.
Yeah.
I mean, what is a tight end roughly going to be?
It goes 480, 555, 630, 705. And if they pick up the fifth year.
480? Mm-hmm. That low?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was 7 or 8. Man, it's way off.
Yeah. 480, 555, 630.
I guess I should be really happy with my rookie deal then that I got.
Yeah. So, So I didn't mean to interrupt you. Your question was what? It was
like if let's just say, because I'm a huge fan of these two tight ends that are coming out of Iowa.
Okay.
One of them being Noah Fant,
yep.
who is unbelievable. I mean, he is the blocking tight right. end that possibly the Raiders could be.
And now because George Kittle, everybody thinks that Iowa is like some sort of tight end factory too. So
well,
that helps.
Well, they're about to turn three of them out in a matter of 3 years that are just unbelievable.
Okay.
So I was just kind of curious if you think that is where they're looking at. I mean, if you're talking Jared Cook, $10 million, $10 million, just not re-signing them, but going for...
No. Yeah, it's not that simple. They're going to... They've repositioned a lot of their salary.
I'm just curious because, I mean, I don't really know the ins and outs when it comes to draft day, other than the fact that I'm about to have a huge party on draft day because it's really cool.
The Raiders might draft a tight end. They might absolutely do that. I don't foresee that because of how many holes they have there.
I don't see it in the first or second round.
I was just thinking,
you know, and
maybe what's their mindset, but nobody could really tell, seeing as they
pass rush that needs to
their ability to protect Derek Carr,
right?
But
Connor Cook's gone, so they really have no backup quarterbacks. They're obviously going to draft a quarterback. They've met with a couple guys offsite privately.
And that's what I was asking. Like, what are their
The guy from Ohio State is the other
Haskins.
Yeah.
Dwayne Haskins. I think the Raiders are very in love with Kyler Murray. I think they're the team that has the draft capital to actually move up. Whether or not they would do it, I don't know.
So
but they're the team.
What are your thoughts on Kyler Murray's pro day? All teams showed up except for the Cardinals.
Well, sure, because the Cardinals didn't show up because they have the first pick, so it doesn't matter, right? They don't need to know, like, what the value is. What is it going to take for them to trade up? They need to know who's there. The Niners show up. They don't need a quarterback, but the Niners are going to show up there because they're trying to figure out who's thirsty enough to make a move up, right?
Okay.
You know, and that same thing you could say for at third and fourth. You know, I think the Giants draft fifth. They would be the next sort of quarterback needy team, I think. You know, so everybody's there to see who's thirstier than who is really what that comes down to, because he turned in a great pro day.
I was reading that he just mailed it in.
It still turned in a great pro day. I read that. Like,
I understand.
I read
too.
That. Like, he didn't really redline it either, but like still all his measurables came out pretty solid, because I read the same thing. But, you know, really, like, all of this right now is smokescreen anyway.
Right.
Who knows what everybody wants? I just think you can really – all you can do right now is evaluate what – you know, the Raiders have, you know, staying with the Raiders specifically, what they have in terms of need. And Derek Carr is a serviceable quarterback right now, and they don't protect him particularly well. And, you know, they don't get after the quarterback particularly well. Their special teams are lacking, and, you know, they could use more secondary help, more playmakers on the outside of the secondary. So luckily there are a lot of secondary guys and edge rushers in this draft. It's deep for that. And then you can find special teams playmakers by, you know, maybe you find a tight end in the fifth round that is also great on special teams. That's a place where that can ultimately go. You have a pool of salary that you have to set aside for guys that you're going to draft anyway. So you eventually, you know, even though you might have the money available, right? It looks like you have the money available right now. You can't necessarily go out and sign dudes because you earmark some of that for the rookies. So I guess if your question is, would the Raiders draft a tight end? I don't think that they're stepping out to look at that, but I also think that they're in a certain spot now with all the additions they made where they can go best player off the board. So if they're at a spot where that tight end is the best player there, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, if that's what you're asking. But I wouldn't think that it's high on their list of priority at this point. That position is, anyway.
I like it.
Okay.
All right. Well, if Kyle likes it, I love it. That's another episode of Sports Meets Beer Podcast.
University of Iowa, tight end factory. You heard it here first.
Yes.
Huge. I would love it if Kyle had a shirt that said Tight End Factory.
I'm disappointed that he doesn't have multiple sizes now.
Anyways, check us out on all of our socials. That would be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Email us, sportspeedsbeer@gmail.com. Big thanks to our sponsor, Advanced Auto Glass and Detail. Any last words, gentlemen?
No, sir. Go Virginia. That's my pick. That's basically why I came up here.
It's Zion's time, baby.
Nope.
Virginia.
Nope.
Get out of here.
All right.
Virginia.
And we're done.